Well, man, thank you, Rebecca. Thank you for being our lead worship leader today. She is amazing, isn't she? The whole team was. Our whole team. I tell you, the music just gets better and better. And they were doing something today that possibly you didn't recognize, but they were less monitors in the inner ear, so they were working through all that process. And so change is not always easy, but it's always better once we get through the process. Amen? And they're so flexible. I'm excited about serving alongside them. And thank you so much for allowing me again to be away. I don't take many times out of the off Sundays. If I'm off on a Sunday, it's usually I'm on a mission trip. I'm not taking a Sunday off to do vacation. Sometimes we ought to do that, but it's been kind of my MO is that if I'm out of the pulpit, I'm more than likely preaching at another church. If I'm away, I'm actually on the mission field somewhere. So if you brought your Bibles, turn with me. We're in this continued series called Living Out Your Calling. I'm excited about this calling today, this series, because the Lord just kind of birthed in my heart that we should be reminded that the call, if you remember the first Sunday that I started this series, the call is for you, every one of us. And then Pastor Scott last week talked about call to make a disciples, and it was wonderful. I watched it. What a great man of God he is. And today I want to talk to you about calling to be loved. There is a lot of people that just don't feel loved. And so Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 and 5 in the New Living Translation version says, long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. Let's pray. Father, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you by serving in this congregation during this season right now. Father, as we unpack your word today, I pray you receive all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Father, remove us out of the way. Just rip down any barrier that might be in the way from us hearing from you today. God, do your work in this place. And we thank you so much for the privilege of serving here at Roswell Street and serving this community. Father, we thank you for the days and months to come. And in advance of what happens, Lord, we just trust you for every aspect of it. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Now do your work in this place today. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. To understand your life's purpose and understand your life's calling, it begins with God, because God created you and I. You can't understand, or you can't tell yourself what your purpose is. God has ordained that purpose. He's created that purpose for us. He is our creator, and he's our creator, can tell us our purpose. Your purpose and your life calling actually begins in the nature of God. Now, the Bible tells us quickly and repeatedly as well that God is love, that God is love. Now, we've talked about this periodically. We've talked about the love of God, but God does not just have love. God doesn't just show love. God is love. That's it. He is love. The love is his nature. It's the character. It's the essence of who he is. The only reason that we're able to love is because God loved us first. He loved us. And when we realize how much we're loved by God, it really gives us a sense of direction and a sense of belonging, a sense of purpose. The Bible says that everything in the universe was created so that God could love it. So he created the universe, and he created the earth, and everything about it. He did that so that he could prove his love. God never made anything that he does not love. That means he loves each and every one of us. So if you're alive today, if you're in this room and there's breath going in and out of your lungs and blood's flowing somewhat through your body, you are loved by God. Now, you may not be loved by everybody, but you are loved by God. You were created as an object of God's love. So when we launched this particular series, we noticed that when we launched the launch verse today, we noticed that when we were born, God loved us and chose us in Christ Jesus. Before he created the universe, he already had you and I in mind. That just tells me how big God is, the massiveness of his love towards us. He had us in mind already. He created us. He loved us even before he dropped the first molecule into the universe. He loved us. Why? Because he is love. He created us and he had a plan for us, a plan that we would be part of his forever family. That's what he created us. God wanted a family and he wanted us to be a part of us. And this gave him great pleasure, is what the Bible says. Sometimes we overlook that last little phrase, that this gave him great pleasure, that he loved us so much that he wanted us to be a part of his forever family. So if you really wanted to jot something down, the first purpose of my life and the first purpose of your life is to be loved by God. It's to realize how loved you are by God. Jude chapter 1. You remember when I took us through those 25 verses in Jude? I love that one chapter epistle that Jude wrote. And it was a wonderful letter. And the first verse says, the letter is from Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. I am writing to you who are called to live in the love of God the Father and the care of Jesus Christ. So we are called, we are called to live the love of God the Father and in Jesus Christ. So let that sink in just a little bit. The first purpose in our life is not to serve God. It's not to serve God. It's not to give resources back for kingdom work. It's not just to trust God. It's not to obey God, which all of those we should do. Amen? But the first purpose is not even to even love God, but to understand that we are loved by God. The first purpose is to let God love us. God didn't create us in the first place to do something. He created us in the first place not to just receive something. He said, I want you to receive my love. That's what I want you to understand. The number one purpose in our lives is not to do something for God. It is to receive something from God. And that something is his unbelievable, undeserving love that he gives us. Because he made us as a receptacle, he made us as a receiver, a benefactor of God's love. We need to let that sink in. Now, I was thinking about Jude this morning. I was thinking about that series that we went through in Jude, the epistle, and I started thinking about Jude. Now, can you imagine that your half-brother is Jesus? You had now when Mary and Joseph, when Mary had Jesus, you know, she was a virgin, so she had Jesus. They had, the Bible tells us, they had multiple children after that. They had multiple girls, had girls and boys. Two of them were James and Jude. And both of those guys turned out to be pretty good guys. They were impact players, I would say, in kingdom work. They wrote epistles, and they turned out to be marvelous leaders of the church. But can you imagine how difficult it would be to be the half-brother of Jesus? And you would say, you're out there playing stickball with Jesus, and out there in the yard, and you're playing soccer or stickball or whatever game they played back in the day, and all of a sudden, you feel like that maybe it's not going your way, you don't like what's happening, and so you run to Mom and say, Mom, Mary, it's Jesus' fault. And she looks at him and says, now, Jude, hang on just a second. Do you not know who he is? He doesn't make fault. He doesn't do wrong. He's never done anything wrong. He's perfect. Now, how many of y'all grew up in a family with siblings that maybe one of those that you felt like the parents said, they are perfect? I see some of you pointing at each other in the room right now. We have that. I had an older brother. He was 5 years older than me, phenomenal athlete. And I always felt like that he was the chosen one, which he really wasn't. But I felt that way. And so that's the way Jude was. But here's a guy named Jude and James. If anybody could have said, hey, I'm Jude. I'm the half-brother of Jesus. I can boast about that. No, what does he say? The letter from Jude, a servant of Jesus. He could have been the name dropper, but he did not. He goes on to say, and I'm the brother of James. I'm writing to you all who are called to live in the love of God the Father, the love of the God the Father, and care for Jesus. So the first purpose is that we need to understand that we are loved by God. Secondly, my first calling, though, is that to enjoy this relationship with Jesus. Enjoy this relationship with God. So when he reached down from the halls of heaven and he gave you the gift of eternal life, when you received Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, you began, whether you knew it or not, a relationship, a lifelong journey and a relationship with Jesus. Paul writes to the church at Rome, chapter 1, verse 7, I'm writing to you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. My purpose is to let God love me. My calling is to enjoy this wonderful relationship with the Father. I am called to live the love of God. I am called in a relationship. What I'm saying to you today is this is so fundamental. This is numero uno. We need to nail this down in our lives, that God loves us and that he saved us and gave us this wonderful relationship. And so we should enjoy. There's going to be bumps along the way. There's going to be hiccups along the way. There's going to be disappointments along the way. There's going to be success along the way. There's going to be joyous times, happy times, grieving times. Since July of 2023, I came here January 2023. In July 2023, I performed the funeral of our board chairman, Barry Vaughn, in Sylacauga, Alabama. He died of cancer. Yesterday, I came in Friday night, and yesterday I drove to Birmingham to perform the funeral of our new board chairman. He was our vice chairman. When Barry died, he elevated to the chairman, and he passed away last Sunday, and the service was yesterday, and I drove to do the service of my friend Steve Walker. My friend Steve Walker would not change places with either one of us, not change places with one of us in this room today, because he is at the feet of his Savior that he served so diligently. Oh, my dear friends, he enjoyed that relationship with Jesus, and now he gets to spend eternity in glory with Jesus every day, the rest of his life, for all of eternity. Someone said, how long is eternity? It's forever. Well, how long is forever? It's forever. It's forever, forever, and ever. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. People try to make it some form of religious belief. It is not. It is a living mechanism. It is a living relationship. It's not about us having all we need. It's about us realizing our relationship with God. So God wants you to be his son and his daughter. He wants us to enjoy this relationship. Dear friends, God loves you dearly. He has called us to be his very own people. So the first purpose is to be loved by God. The first purpose is my calling is to have enjoy this relationship. And that relationship simply means that we are his sons and we are his daughters. I took a verse from the Amplified Bible. I don't hardly ever read the Amplified Bible, but I cross-referenced and found this verse in the Amplified Bible, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Notice what it says. What an incredible quality of love the Father has shown us, that we should be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. That ought to make a Baptist shout hallelujah. We are children of God, and rest in that. This is an amazing truth that we will ever hear in our lives. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, doesn't want us to be his slave. He doesn't want us to be his servant. He doesn't want us to be his soldier. He wants us to enjoy this relationship with us. He wants us to be his son and his daughter, his child. God wants his family to enjoy this relationship. What an incredible quality of love the Father has shown us. We are named the children of God. Why? Because we are the children of God. We're not just named to be the children of God. We that are saved by God's grace, we are the children of God. So let's bask in this. Let's enjoy this relationship that we have. So number one purpose in life is to not to accomplish anything. Our number one purpose in life is not to make something of ourselves. Number one purpose in life is not make a lot of money or famous position in the community. Our number one purpose in life that God created you and I for and called us is called us to be loved by Him and experience that love of God. Because God's love is not based on who we are or what we do. It's based on who He is, and God is love. I want you to listen to another verse of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 and 9 through 19. And I want you to know some things here. This drives home the point, and I'm going to move into the message in just a minute. This is part of my opening comments. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts, and you, as you trust in Him, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, and God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep is His love. May you experience the love of Christ. So how wide is it? It's wide enough to be everywhere all the time. How deep is it? It's long enough to last forever, I should say. Forever and ever and ever and ever. That's how long it lasts. How deep is it? It's deep enough to handle anything that we overcome, anything that we encounter. We're going through pain, going through suffering, going through heartache, going through difficulties in our relationships, going through kid problems, going through parent problems, going through spouse problems. It's deep enough to handle any of the things that we go through, every aspect of our life. So God goes deep enough and lower enough to handle all of our problems. So gathering here close, don't miss this. If you're going through some difficult times, and I believe some of you are, if you are frustrated that something is not happening, take a deep breath and realize His love is deep enough that it never has a floor. It just keeps going deeper. I'm going to tell you, if you go deeper, I'm going deeper even still. See, He has His love. It's wide enough. It's long enough. It's deep enough. And guess what? It's high enough as well. High enough to overlook all my sins. That means He is sitting in heaven. He knows when you sin. He knows that you're going to sin. Can I get something on that, huh? He knows that. Why? Because He's omniscient. He's everywhere all the time. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. So He knows when we are going to mess up. Yes, even your preacher messes up. Shocking, isn't it? It happens. We are going to mess up. We are going to make mistakes. And guess what? He's high enough to know that. He says, I'm going to lavish my grace and my love and my mercy over you, even though you keep making dumb mistakes. Dan Moran. Or it could be Alex Owen. Or it could be Brian Lumpkin. Or it could be Andy Harrison. I could pick out every one of us in this room. We are all going to go through difficult situations, and He is high enough to overlook all of my mistakes and all of my situations. So, the first purpose is to be loved by God. Calling to enjoy my relationship with Him, and my relationship is simply to enjoy being His son or His daughter in Him. So I want to give you five quick things real quickly. What happens if I stay aware of God's constant love for me? What happens if I stay aware of God's love for me? The first one is this. I feel accepted rather than ashamed. I feel accepted rather than ashamed. Notice what Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says. By faith we have been made acceptable to God. And now because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live in peace with God. Most people go through life. They go through their entire life avoiding God. Now you say, wait a minute, not me. But I encounter people all the time. Especially in our corporate ministry, that people say that I'm a believer, and then when we really start talking about what your walk with God is about, we realize that maybe they really aren't a believer and they're avoiding God. Many people go through life avoiding God, and the reason they are avoiding God is because they're ashamed. They're ashamed of what they've done in life. They feel ashamed. They feel guilty. They feel condemned. Feel under condemnation. They feel judged. They feel criticized. They think that God is so perfect God, and I am not so perfect. So why in the world would I want to hang out with a perfect God? Why should I surrender my life to a perfect God? Because God, that's not what God does. He did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. There is there now no condemnation for those who are, say it with me, in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ Jesus, you do not have to feel ashamed. You are accepted in the beloved. You're accepted by the Son of God. You're accepted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. By faith, we have been made acceptable to God. And now, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live in peace with Him. So if you're not in peace, maybe you need to surrender your life to Him, because it sets you free from all addictions of approval. Have you ever met someone that just cannot stand it unless somebody's bragging on them? Have you been around that person that needs that affirmation all the time? They need somebody to tell them how great they are, how good they are, how wonderful they are, how smart they are, how beautiful they are, how wonderful they are, how great a job that they do. They're constantly needing approval. They are addicted to approval. Now, everybody needs a bragged on every now and then, don't we? I mean, every now and then, it won't hurt y'all to say, Dan, that was a good sermon. Now, don't do it every Sunday, but if you get, you know, the Lord puts it on your heart, it won't hurt my feelings whatsoever. It's better than those that you come by and say, that was a terrible sermon. I had that happen in a funeral one time. Lady came by me, and I did the funeral, and she of this particular person from one of our corporate ministries, and I didn't even know the person. I was just fulfilling some helping out in a responsibility because I didn't have a pastor. And this lady walked by me, this sorrowful look on her face. She said, "That's the worst sermon I've ever heard. I just preached the funeral of a guy I didn't even know. Didn't try to preach him into heaven. I just did everything I could to present the gospel, and maybe she didn't hear it." You see, some people need approval. They live for that, right? Maybe you're addicted to approval. Maybe you need somebody patting you on the back all the time. It's because maybe you're living an ashamed life. Be accepted by God. But when you realize that God loves you unconditionally, without conditions of any kind, when you realize this, that I don't need approval of others, it will set you free every day. Every single time, I feel accepted rather than ashamed. I know that God loves me unconditionally. Let me give you another verse of scripture, chapter 8 of Romans, verse 33 and 34. If God says his chosen ones are accepted in him, can anyone bring charges against them? Can anyone condemn them? No, indeed. No, indeed. Because I feel accepted rather than ashamed. That's big. Lock that into your heart. The second thing that I want to speak to you about this morning is what happens when I stay aware of God's constant love. The second is I am bold in bringing my needs to God. I am bold in bringing my needs to God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, the New Living Version of God's Word says, "And all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him dear Father, Father, dear Father. And since we are his children, and we will share in his treasures, for everything God gives to his Son, Christ is ours too." So we must be bold in our prayer life. I say this all the time. Most Baptist people They don't like that verse that says, we ask not, we have not because we ask not. We feel like that's assuming God. But it's in Scripture. The reason we don't have is because we're not asking. Now, he may not meet that need because he's got a better plan for us. But we need to boldly come boldly to the throne of grace each and every time. When our son was little, Seth, he would come to me all the time and he would ask me anything that and want me to tell him what he needed. And he would ask me, he assumed that I knew everything, and he also assumed that I had everything and I could afford everything. And so he, you know, when we're coming to the boldly to the throne of grace, we should go to Abba Father. Well, you know, my son would come to me and he would ask for his allowance, or he would ask for something that he possibly needed. And he would probably say it like this in a prayer. Oh, thou most gracious heavenly Father, leader of the Moran family, thou wonderful observer and keeper of all the family funds. If he said that, I would look at him like he fell and hit his head on something, right? No, here's what he would say. Hey, Dad, I need some cash right now. Real straightforward. But sometimes we want to flowery up our communication to the Father when we just need to talk to him. We just need to boldly go to him with our specific needs. Listen to this verse, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. I feel accepted rather than ashamed. I am bold in praying my needs to Abba Father. And thirdly, I have peace in pain that I don't understand. When staying aware of God's constant love is that I have peace in pain that I'm going through that I don't understand. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we know this one. ESV version tells us this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Peace in the midst of pain. Peace in the midst of suffering. We don't understand that sometimes. But when we stay constantly aware of God's love for us, we can go through the pain and have peace in our heart. When we're going through, when we're asking the questions of why God this? God, let me just give you a word. God doesn't owe us an explanation of why he allows things to happen. I was on my way to Birmingham yesterday morning early to do an 11 o'clock funeral. And I had to be reminded myself of the message that I was going to bring to you today in this particular principle. I said to God, and I'm confessing before my church family here today. I said, God, I just elevated Steve from vice chair to chairman. And 2 weeks ago, he was diagnosed with his liver disease and he died. We didn't know he was that sick. We knew he wasn't feeling good, but he died so quickly. Why did this happen? And you know what God said? Go back and look at your notes, Dan. I don't owe you an explanation for anything because I'm God. If we're going to trust God to bless us when we are in the good times and protect us in the pain and the suffering that we have in our lives, we need to trust him unconditionally. When we're going through the good times, when we're going through the bad times, when we feel like everything is upside down, we need to trust him. I have peace in the midst of the pain that I don't understand. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What is the peace that passes all understanding? It's that I don't need an explanation when God does something. I just need to trust God. But I do know this. I know that God is a good God. And I do know this, that he loves me. And I do know that he wants what's best for me and my life. And I do know that I can trust him when I don't even understand. That the peace of God passes all understanding. Dear friends, gathering here close, don't miss this. We realize his constant love when we know that he loves us deeply and that he has his best plan for us. He gives us peace in the midst of the pain. Christians have the same exact problems that non-Christians have. The difference is that we get the peace that passes understanding when I can trust God in the moment when everything is falling apart around me. That's why Romans 8:28 is inserted in one of the greatest chapters in God's word. And we know that all things, even the bad things, God works for good to those who love him, who have been called, circle that word or underline that word, called according to his purpose. The word calling and purpose actually are tied together. They are the same. When we live the calling, we live out our purpose, and when we let God love us, we love God back. We can know that all the things that work together, God is working for the good to those who love him. Oh, dear friends, don't miss this. In the midst of the pain, in the midst of the pain, you can have the peace that passes all understanding. I have peace in the pain that I don't even understand. Number four, I can gain the courage to take risk. Church people don't like to take risk. We just don't like to. We like our little formulas of how we formulate everything out. They don't want to take risk. Sometimes we just need to take a step of faith. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Sometimes we fail. If we're fearful, we're going to get punished. Dear friends, let me tell you something. Sometimes we just need to take a step of faith. Sometimes we are like the people that were in the boat with Peter that night. When Peter looked out across the river, he saw Jesus walking on the water, and Jesus said, come. And what did Peter do? Wait a minute. Hang on just a second. Let me get my life jacket on, Jesus. No, what did Peter do? Russell, he took a step of faith. He got out in the water, and then he started sinking because he took his eyes off Jesus. And what happened? Everybody in the boat, yeah, 90-90, boo-boo. See there, you're not a man of faith. Listen, he got out of the boat. Listen to me, Roswell Street. We need to take a step of faith. We need to take the risk and believe that Jesus has the plan for each and every one of us. Oh, and what if I fail? Guess what? You're going to fail if you don't take the risk. Anyway, sometimes we need to take a risk. We need to take a step of faith. My brother was a great athlete. I was decent. I played all the sports that we had to offer. If we'd had a tiddlywink team, I'd have gone out for it. I mean, we had three or four sports for men and some sports for the women. The title nine had just come into being, and man, we're excited about that, I guess. The girls' basketball, all this kind of stuff was coming out. I was on our football team. I was really not. My brother was a great football player. I was terrible. I really wasn't a good football player. Basketball was my kind of thing, and baseball and swimming. But my brother, they put me in. Our team was pretty bad. My junior year, we went 0-10. For those of you that don't know what that means, we had 10 games, and we lost all 10 of them. My senior year, we liked our junior year so well that we duplicated it. So my senior year in high school, we're halfway through the season. We're getting beat up by everybody. We were terrible. And we're playing our arch rival minor high school over in West Jefferson County. Our arch rival. They were really good. We were really bad. We had three quarterbacks. We only had three strings of quarterbacks. And all three of them went down. They were not playing. So coach said, we're going to have a new quarterback this week. Dan's going to be our quarterback. I was a four-string quarterback with three strings only listed in the depth chart. That tells you how bad I was. So I get out there and I throw four touchdowns. Excuse me, they were interceptions. They were touchdowns for the other team. But touchdowns anyway, right? Four. We got beat 66-0. It was horrible. Halftime, cheerleaders left. Band walked off the field at halftime. We were coming back out for the second half. Russell, the band just kept walking. went straight to the band room and out the door. They were gone. Nobody was there. Minor had the whole stadium field on their side. We had about 8 people. It was terrible. 66-0. I was so dejected. Went to the locker room, and I was the last guy out coming out of the locker room. I was so dejected. I had my chance to be some kind of superstar. And I walked out, and who did I see leaning up next to the pole, right next to the big quad area there at high school? It was my dad. Nobody else there. My dad was sitting there. Leaned up against the telephone pole, just like this. I walked up to him. I was so dejected. He said, "Son, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it." He said, "Let me tell you something. You're the best quarterback in our family." I was the only quarterback in our family. But what he was telling me was, don't worry about it. You took a risk. It didn't turn out right, but you enjoyed yourself, didn't you? I said, not really. Not really. I couldn't even, I threw a little side pass and the guy took off running. I thought I was going to be able to catch him. He outran me 20 yards. I said, man, it was terrible. He said, don't worry about it. It's just a game. You took the risk. You said yes when you didn't even know the playbook. Sometimes we need to take a risk. People that take a risk turn from losers into winners. It's said many times, your problem is not that you don't love God. Your problem is you don't know how much He loves you. Because if you knew how much He loves you, He put your arm around you and said, you're the best quarterback in my family. That's what my dad was telling me that night. I don't care about the game. I care about my kid. And that's what Jesus is doing for us. Accepted rather than ashamed. Bold in our praying. Peace in the midst of pain. And gain courage to take a risk. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. You can't have fear and faith in the same heart. You cannot. And finally, I close with this. I worship instead of worry. I worship instead of worry. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and following says, don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. You've heard me say this time and time again from this platform. Worship is setting our mind's attention and our heart's affection on God. You can't worship and worry in the same heart. Worship and worry cannot reside in the same heart. When worry comes upon you, I challenge you to start worshiping. When you understand God's love, that He first loved us and He gave His only begotten Son for us, remember the problem that you may be facing with is really not that big when you see the big scheme of things that Jesus went to the cross for us. Worship instead of worrying. Worship. Worry is pretending that you're an orphan, that you're out there on an island by yourself. Worship is saying, I've been forgotten by my heavenly Father who I don't think He really does love me. But when we worship, we understand we go to the throne. He is the audience of one when we're worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Oh, my dear friends, I worship instead of worrying. So when I stay aware of God's constant love, I'm accepted, not ashamed. I'm bold in my prayers. I have peace in the midst of pain that I don't even understand. And I gain courage to step out and take the risk. And I worship instead of worry. Give yourselves completely to God since you have been given a new life. And one final verse, and I close with this. To all who believe in Him and accepted Him, Jesus gave the right to become the children of God. Oh, my dear friends, we are His children. Let's not panic, but we're called to be loved by Him. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed, as our team comes up to lead us in a great song. Maybe here in this room, right this moment, Right this moment, you're just not feeling very loved right now. Right here in this room, maybe you just need to come boldly to the throne of grace right now and say, God, today I want to feel your love. I want to sense your love. I want to enjoy the freshness of your love in my life. Maybe you're viewing us by our live stream and you're going through some difficult pain right now, and maybe you just need to turn your life over to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to enjoy the calling to be loved by you. I want to enjoy the relationship that I have with you. I want to enjoy this journey that you will have me on for the days and months and years of my life left. I want to experience that. I want to stop worrying and start worshiping. I want to have that living hope that drives my life today. Father God, thank you so much for those in this room. Thank you for the ones that you're dealing with right now. Father, I pray that you give them courage to stand up and step out. I pray, Father God, that those that are viewing us by our live stream will do the same, that they will experience your love, your grace, your mercy. Father, I pray right in this moment right now, that you will speak truth into someone's heart. They will come to this altar, maybe kneel at this altar, maybe come talk to me or one of our other encouragers. Maybe they'll just come and just boldly come and say, today, for the first time in many, many months or many years or even forever, God, they will come and they will say, I surrender my life to the living hope, the person of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray right now that we will take that step of faith. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name I pray. With heads still bowed and eyes still closed, Pastor Johnny and I are going to be here at the front. We have encouragers that are going to be here with you as well. Maybe you're here in this room right now, or maybe you're viewing us by our live stream, and maybe you're saying, Dan, I want to acknowledge that today I want to experience his love like never before. Maybe in this room right now you want to say, Dan, would you just pray a special prayer for me? I've been going through some pain in my life, some difficulty in my life. I'm afraid of taking the risk. Maybe here you'll be bold enough to just slip your hand up and allow me just to pray a prayer over you and give you an encouragement word right here. If you're in this room, would that be you? Just slip your hand up right where you are. Yes. Is there another? Yes, I see it. God bless you. Is there others? Absolutely. Will you take that step of faith? Will you slip forward and let one of our prayer partners pray with you and encourage you right now? Father God, thank you for what you're about to do in this place. Give them courage to stand up and step out during this time to experience your love like never before. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. We stand.